Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would give us humble, expectant, grateful and obedient hearts to receive it well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So what makes you most scared? You haven't got to tell anyone else, don't worry about that. But most of us know deep down, don't we, the things that scare us most of all. Perhaps it's that other child at school who's so horrid, and it's bad news when you see them coming towards you in the playground, especially when there isn't a grown-up anywhere near. Perhaps it's the reaction you know there'll probably be on social media, maybe, from loads of people in your year or where you work if they suddenly realise you're serious about following Jesus. You've seen what happens when the crowd turns on someone and you shudder at the thought of that ever happening to you. Maybe it's the virus, especially after a couple of weeks when so many of the headlines have been negative again. What if there is a big second wave or a winter lockdown? What if I do lose my job, if someone I love gets ill and there's nothing I can do? For so many of our brothers and sisters around the world, of course, it's the fear of real persecution just because they're Christians. I heard a few weeks ago that one of the pastors who's always been on the preaching course I've helped to run in Lucknow in India quite a few times, such a lovely, encouraging man, he's been in intensive care after being brutally beaten in the street on his way home from a church meeting one evening. Imagine knowing something like that could happen to you or your family at any time. There are so many things that might make us fear, aren't there, in a world like this, even in lives like ours. So what do you do when it feels as if everything is falling apart, as if when it really does look as if evil has got the upper hand? Well, Psalm 46 shows the way. I love Psalm 46. Lots of Christians love this psalm. If you're into posters and screensavers, do you know the kind of thing with lovely photos and then Bible verses written into them? There is every chance you will have come across verses from this psalm. Maybe it was verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Perhaps it was verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Or possibly verse 11, which you'll notice, just in case you missed it, repeats verse 7, just to really press those words into our hearts and our heads again. Aren't they magnificent words? Don't you love their mood of calm confidence, that settled sense that things will be well? Wouldn't you love to be like that too? And to know more of that calm confidence yourself? Well, that's what the psalm wants us to be like. But when? Have another look. What sort of things are going on as these words are sung? What kinds of things did the psalmists have on their minds as they wrote? Was everything easy? Was it all calm and pleasant and sunny as far as the eye could see? No. Verse 2, notice, talks about the earth giving way, mountains tumbling into the sea. Verse 3 talks about waters getting so violent, mountains quake with fear. Mountains, notice, the things in all creation that don't change. Think of a mountain that you know well, maybe one you've climbed once or twice or walked up. Can you picture it in your mind's eye? Well, now imagine a painting of it done hundreds of years ago. What does it look like? Just the same. I mean, everything else, the buildings, the scenery, that's all different. But the mountain itself, basically unchanged. Not here, though. Notice, this is it's picture language for creation coming undone. In the Bible, the sea, waters, they're often used as pictures of evil, restless forces completely beyond our control. If ever you've been at the coast during a great storm, or even worse, out on a boat, you'll know why the Bible uses the sea and waters as that kind of an image, because it is terrifying being at the mercy of forces that are so destructive and so untamable. And now look on to verse 6. What does the psalm talk about there? Nations in uproar, kingdoms falling. You've done history at school at some point, even if you hated it and it was ages ago. You've certainly watched the news, I'm sure. We all know what nations roaring and kingdoms falling involves. Threats and tensions and wars and reprisals and refugees, the lot. And it's in the midst of things like that that this psalm encourages us to lift our voices and sing those remarkable opening words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Do you get the point? Psalm 46, it's not just a song to sing in a monastery or on a Christian retreat when everything seems to be great and everyone seems to be on side. It's not just a song for the peaceful times. It is a song for God's people to sing at the very, very hardest times of all. It is a song to sing in playgrounds when there is no one to stop the bully, when your social media feed is just poisonous. It's a song to sing when you're waiting for important exam results with no idea whether they'll be fair. It's a song to sing when you're at home with family, when home and family are not the safe places they're meant to be. It's a song to sing when your boss calls you in because someone has made a complaint about your faith. It's a song to sing in doctor's offices when the news is bad, or when you're watching the news and the headlines about the virus are scary again. That is when we're to raise our voices and sing these lovely words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, even in the face of all this, we will not fear. Why? How? What is it that allows us to be calm and confident even when things do seem to be falling apart and evil looks like it's winning? What is the secret? Well, verse 1. Once more, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Just take a moment to let those words roll round your mind a little bit. He's our refuge, our protection, our armour, the one who, if we're trusting Jesus, stands between us and trouble and keeps us safe from anything he knows would do us harm. He's our strength. The one who keeps giving us whatever he knows we need to keep going through the next day, the next few moments even, in circumstances when left to ourselves we would have been out for the count ages ago. An ever-present help in trouble. I was flicking through the TV channels one evening the other week. I came across Police Code Zero, Officer Under Attack on Channel 5, and got quite into it actually, especially when I realised they were talking about something that happened not that far away, just outside Newbury, not that long ago. Two police officers were sent up to this remote place in the countryside on a hillside to follow up reports that a car had crashed, and they came across the drunk driver who completely lost it with them, went for them like an animal. They recorded it on their cameras. It was terrifying. He hurt them both badly and they called for help, but they were in the middle of nowhere. 15 minutes it took for reinforcements to arrive. I used to work in London, one of them said afterwards. You call for help there, it's never more than a minute away, but not in rural Berkshire. It was the longest 15 minutes of their lives. Is that what God is like? More than able to help? Ready to? but it might just be a while before he's there. No, end of verse 1 again. He's ever present. If you're his, trust in Christ. He's right there with you too, all the time. I used to work for people who had bodyguards back in my MOD days in the dim and distant past. I helped to arrange bodyguards for some people sometimes. Even had them for myself for a few days when I got to play a VIP on a training exercise. It is amazing how safe bodyguards make you feel. But at the end of the day, they were just blokes with training, courage and guns. Such limits to what they can do. Plenty of situations they're helpless too, but not the Lord Almighty, verse 7. Literally there it is, the Lord of hosts. No matter how many angel armies you imagine him commanding, you're way short. That Lord, right there with his people, with you, utterly committed to your protection. And able, notice this, to take the roaring, foaming, surging waters of evil and destruction, verse 3, and in his infinite power and wisdom, use them, verse 4, notice, for your ultimate joy. To make you glad. It is such a striking contrast, isn't it? From the outside, verse 3, the waters look absolutely terrifying. From the inside, where God is, if he's with you, a river that brings blessing. You know, there are no river trips when you visit Jerusalem, incidentally. There never have been, because there's never been a river there. Just another clue, actually, that what the psalmist was singing about here was never just Jerusalem, but what Jerusalem was always pointing forwards to, life among God's people, safe with Jesus, where even the evil that gets aimed at us turns out for our good, too. It may not always be easy to see how, of course, especially at the time, but you don't have to be in Christian circles for very long before you start to hear stories of how the Lord has used dreadful things his church has faced for his church's good. He is a God who takes evil aimed at his people and uses it for their good. And he's a God, verse 6, who controls history with just a word. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Like in the playground when the bully is about to strike and then suddenly you hear the roar of the head teacher's voice and everything changes. Suddenly it's so clear who is really in charge and you're safe again. You read the Old Testament and there are so many nations as you read through. There's Egyptians and Philistines and Assyrians and Babylonians and Persians and others raging and in uproar against God's people, each in the end silenced by his voice. Same in the New Testament. We've been getting a bit of a taste of it in the book of Acts. Religious leaders in uproar against the church. In the end, though, helpless before God's word, the earth-melting voice of the one who is so on his people's side. Rome, which so dominated the world back then in the days of Acts, now just a load of ruins and lots of pages in history books, while God's church still growing today. Just as every force which seems to dominate our world today will one day be silenced by him too, well, his church will always remain. So what do we do? Because we've read Psalm 46. Or verse 8. See, verses 1 to 7 tell us truths. Verses 8 to the end tell us the difference those truths should make, don't they? Have a look. Verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Come and see all those times he has acted to protect and strengthen his people and shown what an ever-present help he really is. The long and ever-growing list of those who over the centuries have tried to stand against him and failed because they were silenced by him. And realise that every time God swept them away, their empires, their thrones, their ideologies, it was just another foretaste of his final victory to come on the day when, verse 9, he makes wars cease. to the ends of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. Come and see the future, that is saying. Come and see how things will one day be. And then while there's still time, listen, verse 10. Listen to his voice. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And so, as we finish, can I ask, are you listening? You who are daring to stand against God and his plan and his people, that verse is saying, you, be still. Stop it now. Realise he will be exalted right across the world. You don't stand a chance. So stop fighting him. Find safety in bowing before Jesus now. And you who are part of his people but scared, verse 10 is saying, you who are really worrying about things, bullies and cancel culture and the virus and persecution and exam results and so on, all those ways things seem to be falling apart and evil seems to have the upper hand, you, be still too. Let go. It's okay. He's in charge. He's got you. He's with you. And he will be exalted in the end, not least, by keeping and blessing you. So as we finish, take a breath. And one more time, say verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the kind of God that you are, so powerful, so utterly in control, so unthreatened by evil, and so utterly committed to the good of your people. We thank you that we have seen that so clearly in the Lord Jesus, in what you have done for him, and we praise you for the security that is ours in him today. We pray that whatever goes on around us, whatever comes into our lives, you would help us not to fear, but to remember you're our strength, our refuge, and ever-present help in times of trouble. You, the Lord of hosts, are with us, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.